Welcome to today's SCOTUS Pre-Decision Day Census Ethnic Media Press Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode, but later on you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question and answer session, and instructions will follow at that time. Please note that today's call may be recorded, and I will be standing by should you need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Beth Link. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you so much for joining this call. These quarterly telebriefings are a collaboration between the Leadership Conference Education Fund and its partners at Naleo Educational Fund, Asian Americans Advancing Justice, AAJC, and the National Urban League and Ethnic Media Services to help ethnic media track political and policy developments about the 2020 census. My name is Beth Link. I'm the Census Counts Campaign Director at the Leadership Conference Education Fund, which works to build public will for federal policies that promote and protect the civil and human rights of all people in the United States. The 2020 census is one of the most urgent civil rights issues facing the country, and right now every person in America has the opportunity to help ensure the count is fair and accurate for all communities. On May 30th, 2019, folks likely saw that the New York Times reported on newly discovered documents detailing Republican efforts to add a citizenship question to the census. Republican political operatives plainly want to deny communities of color the health care, education, and other services that they need in order to maintain, that their communities need. The Republican operatives want to maintain GOP power and a wider electorate. In addition, following the reports on those memos, the Urban Institute recently released a report that shows the 2020 census could miss millions of people of color and double count millions of whites, resulting in a net national undercount of 4 million people, a far less accurate census than in 2010. These findings are further evidence of the critical need for adequate resources for census operations, IT readiness, and outreach to communities that are traditionally harder to count. An inaccurate census would exacerbate systemic inequities for people of color and people with low incomes. We must, and we're committed to continuing the fight for a fair and accurate 2020 census. And the reason is because everyone relies on census data. Census data influenced the allocation of more than $800 billion in federal government resources to states, localities, and families every year. Businesses use census data to determine where to open stores and place offices, and the count also serves as a basis for fair political representation. That's why the Leadership Conference Education Fund has invested in the census for decades, and in 2010, we worked in 15 target cities and metro areas to identify trusted community-based organizations to serve as local partners and take the lead in organizing and implementing grassroots activities. And today, we're proud to continue working with our partners across the country who are defending the 2020 census and ensuring that no one gets left behind. So today, we'll talk about that no matter how the Supreme Court rules on the addition of the citizenship question to the 2020 census, we know that people are understandably already anxious, given the climate of fear, and because this administration has ignored the advice of all experts when it decided to add the citizenship question. We know that a boycott will only increase the undercount and deprive communities of critical resources. And refusing to participate in the 2020 census would only advance the bigoted goals of anti-immigrant hardliners who want to reduce political representation for minorities and limit access to resources for vulnerable communities. The best way to prevent that reality is for communities to fulfill the legal obligation to complete the census form as best they can. Census data are protected by strict confidentiality laws, and our coalition will fight any actions to harm census respondents in violation of the law. So to talk about this in much more detail on the line, and we're incredibly grateful to have them, are Arturo Vargas, who's the Executive Director of the National Association of Latino Elected and Appointed Officials, Naleo Educational Fund, John Yang, the President and Executive Director of Asian Americans Advancing Justice, AAJC, Jerry Green, Senior Advisor for the 2020 Census at the National Urban League, Stephen Choi, Executive Director of New York Immigration Coalition, NYIC, and Solma Arias, Immigration Field Director at Community Change and the Fair Immigration Reform Movement firm. All of this, the speakers will be available to answer questions during the Q&A session. and we'll make sure to follow up if we're not able to answer all questions in the allotted time, since we know that time is limited. But first, let me turn it to Arturo Vargas, who's the Executive Director of the National Association of Latino Elected and Appointed Officials Educational Fund, to kick us off. Arturo?
Thank you, Beth, and good morning or good afternoon to everybody on this call. I appreciate all of you joining us for this continued conversation on how important the 2020 census is to the American people, and in particular, how important it is for the Latino population of the United States as well. This will be the second decennial census in which Latinos are the nation's second largest population group. In fact, Latinos now are 18% of the U.S. population, nearly one out of five of all people who live in the country. So quite simply, an undercount of the Latino population will mean a failed census. And that is the track on which this census currently is proceeding, given the circumstances under which we are working. Now, the evidence is overwhelming. Even before a citizenship question was proposed to be added, that we are at great risk of an undercount of the Latino population. The Census Bureau's own research, which was first shared with its National Advisory Committee on Racial, Ethnic, and Other Population Groups in November 2017, demonstrated that the Census Bureau staff was experiencing unprecedented lack of cooperation, fear among immigrants to participate in its interdecennial census, surveys that it does all year long, every single year. These are people who had volunteered and were in fact being financially compensated to participate in surveys. Yet because of the current anti-immigrant, anti-Latino environment being perpetuated by our federal government, many of the survey participants were refusing to participate out of fear of what was going to be asked. We also know there was overwhelming evidence that was made publicly available in the three federal trials that were held over the past several months. Now, Leo Educational Fund also sponsored the National Latino Commission on Census 2020, a bipartisan group of 10 NALEO members that was co-chaired by the Secretary of State of California, Alex Padilla, and Miami-Dade County School Board member, Luis Navarro, along with eight other commissioners. They held five hearings in Los Angeles, Orlando, New York, San Antonio, and Columbus. Their findings and recommendations were released on May 22nd. It includes recommendations for the administration, for Congress, and for the Census Bureau about what they can do now to salvage and save the 2020 census. The full report, its recommendations, as well as a briefing at the National Press Club that was held that day, is available online at naleo.org/commission-briefing. Now, if the citizenship question were to stay, we are ready to fight for a fair and accurate census. Once we hear from the Supreme Court, and if the news is not good and the question remains, we know we need to engage in several steps. We will be doing more research among immigrant communities so that we know exactly how to best explain the situation to our constituencies, how to encourage them to participate, and what are the messages and messengers that we need to share in order to help people overcome rational fears of contact with this federal government. We also will closely monitor what the Census Bureau is doing. This week, the Census Bureau began a new test in which they mailed out questionnaires to 480,000 households. Half of those questionnaires have the citizenship question, the other half do not. It's a questionnaire that looks very much like what will be used in Census 2020. The Census Bureau is just going to sit back and wait to see how people respond to the two different questionnaires. But based on that information, that will be used to determine what their non-response follow-up protocols and procedures will be for the actual census next year. So we need to wait and see what that analysis is and learn directly from the Census Bureau how it will follow up on questionnaires, especially if the questionnaires are returned partially complete or not at all. So guidance will be forthcoming from our organizations and from Naleo for our constituencies about how to participate in Census 2020 once we have all of the complete information we need in order to share that with our community. We have developed a toolkit that's available to discuss and to prepare for a decision by the Supreme Court that's available on our website at Naleo, NALEO.org. We have a fully developed census website in English and Spanish, hagasecontar.org, hagasecontar.org. We are completely undeterred and will do all that we can to ensure that every single American, every single Latino is enumerated in Census 2020. Now, I personally may not be on for the rest of this call, so if anybody has any questions specifically for me or from Naleo, feel free to email me at avargas, A-V-A-R-G-A-S, at naleo.org. Thank you, Beth.
Thank you so much, Arturo, thank you for providing that guidance for the Q&A section. Now we'll hear from John Yang, the President and Executive Director of Asian Americans Advancing Justice, AAJC. John?
Thank you very much, Beth. My name is John Yang. I'm the President and Executive Director of Asian Americans Advancing Justice, AAJC, and our mission is to advance the civil and human rights of Asian Americans and to build and promote a fair and just society for all. Thank you all for joining us today, and it is always a pleasure for me to appear with the other speakers on this call in talking about this very critical and very important issue. Asian Americans are the fastest growing racial group in this country, increasing by 46% between the 2000 and 2010 decennial census. Without a fair and accurate census, we will not be understood, and we will not understand the continuing growth patterns of this community. Now, to put this into context also, we must remember that over 90% of the Asian population are either immigrants or children of immigrants. And approximately 1 in 6 Asians have never participated in a U.S. decennial census because they arrived in this country over the last decade or since 2010. Thus, education of our community is incredibly important and incredibly difficult just to make sure they understand what the census is. In testing that we did last year, we found that approximately 55% of Asians have never heard of the census. So there's an education effort that is already underway and that must continue. In this context, the citizenship question is a threat to the Asian community because it is a question that concerns immigrants and is a question that creates fear in our community, especially in this anti-immigrant environment. Now, let's be clear. As Arturo has talked about, citizenship question is untested. Typically, questions on the census are tested over the entire decade period before it appears on the decennial census. Preparations and testing for this census, the 2020 census, started taking place very shortly after the 2010 census. In contrast, this question was proposed only in March of last year. Arturo mentioned that there is a test that is currently out in the field that includes the citizenship question. But let's be clear, that is too little and too late. Typically, when questions are tested, the language of the question, the placement of the question, and the appearance of the question are all tested to ensure that the Census Bureau will get accurate responses. In this case, they are putting this question out into the field, and as Arturo suggested, they will see what happens. Perhaps it will help inform how all of us need to inform our communities if this citizenship question is to remain. But let us be clear, this citizenship question is going to cause harm, already has caused harm, even if it does not remain on the census. But we should also be clear about this. Asian Americans should and must participate in this census. The census is designed to count all people, not just citizens. And all of us must do our part to ensure that everyone understands the complexity and diversity of our community through participation in the census. Only by participating in the census can we understand who we are and where we live. So we, along with our partners on this call and other partners out in the field, will work to make sure that we address all of these fears, to readdress the privacy concerns and other issues that will come up during the next year. We are asking everyone to participate. Certainly, we could have you join these efforts through a couple of different vehicles. One is you could log on to the website of the leadership conference, www.censuscounts.org, or to get the Asian American perspective and understand what is happening in the Asian American community, you could look up countusin2020.org, where we will have fact sheets and explainers in 20 different Asian languages. Everyone must participate in the census. It's our civic duty, and it is not a time for us to sit it out. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John. Next, we'll hear from Jerry Green, Senior Advisor for the 2020 Census of the National Urban League. Jerry?
Hi. Thank you so much, Beth. Good afternoon. I am Jerry Green, 2020 Census Senior Advisor for the National Urban League, a nonprofit, nonpartisan civil rights organization founded in 1910 to empower African American communities on issues affecting their economic well-being and civil rights. I join you today on behalf of Urban League CEO and President Mark Morial, our network of 90 affiliates located in 36 states and the District of Columbia, and our 2020 Census Black Roundtable organized last year to mobilize black organizations for an accurate count. Today's call is indeed important as we await a final decision by the Supreme Court on the proposed 2020 Census citizenship question. Will the High Court support an emboldened admitted right-wing schemes to disenfranchise certain populations by keeping undocumented immigrants out of the census count, out of state apportionment allocations, and other aspects of political representation, including the Electoral College, or will it align itself with the principles and ideals of a U.S. Constitution, which calls for an enumeration of all persons residing in the United States? While much damage has been done already to create an environment of fear within immigrant communities about the safety of the 2020 census, the Urban League remains unwavering in our efforts to achieve an accurate count of the black population, including black immigrants. In fact, the National Urban League has played an active role in the last five censuses, starting in 1970, when former Urban League Executive Director Whitney L. Young, Jr. testified before the House Subcommittee on Census and Statistics regarding concerns about a potential significant undercount of African Americans in the 1970 census. His testimony in 1970 expressed fear that, quote, many non-whites would be missed in the 1970 census based on the Census Bureau's plans for counting minorities. The concerns he cited included flaws related to inadequate mailing procedures, inadequate assistance for completing complex census forms, and poor community educational outreach, among other reasons. Well, what do you know? Here we are again today, incredibly, 50 years later, weighing the Urban Institute's research results projecting an historic undercount of the black population in the year 2020. This projection has serious implications, particularly given the last census's high undercount of the black population, which included a 2.5% undercount overall of the black population compared to a net overcount of 0.5% of the white population. Last decade. Also, an undercount rate for black males ages 18 to 49 at 7.6%, and then, of course, our young black children being undercounted at 6.3%, twice the rate of young white children. Finally, black men experience, and it's been well documented, disproportionately higher rates of incarceration than the broader population and continue to be imprisoned and counted in distant jurisdictions away from their homes and families. This disenfranchises black communities even further by inflating the voting power of residents in conservative prison-hosting districts and siphoning away vital federal funding and programs needed in the home times of the families of incarcerated persons. In closing, the Urban League's own assessment, as reflected in our 2019 annual State of Black America report, give us reason to believe that the 2020 census will be the most important census for the black population in modern history. Because of this, the Urban League is mobilizing our affiliate network and the black community overall to count formerly incarcerated persons, to count young children, to count African American men and those caught in the digital divide. And we are engaging black immigrant-serving organizations and educating our community as well to recognize potential social media antics designed to suppress the black count. So we're not going to stand idly by and let our collective communities be marginalized and erased from this census due to political meddling, apathy, or fear. We're calling on everyone, every household, every family, every immigrant, black or otherwise, to stand up and be counted. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Jerry. Next, we're delighted to have Stephen Choi, who's the Executive Director of the New York Immigration Coalition, join us. Stephen?
Thank you, Beth. My name is Steve Choi. I'm the Executive Director of the NYIC, but I also want to mention, especially for the purposes of this call, that the NYIC is the convener of New York Counts 2020, which is a statewide New York coalition that's designed to maximize the 2020 census count in New York State. Look, we here in New York recognize the critical importance of the 2020 census. With all apologies to 1990s hip-hop fans, but we know that the census is about three things: money, power, and respect. We calculate that in terms of the money, that every New Yorker who's not counted is worth $3,000 in lost federal funds that could be going to schools, that could be going to hospitals, roads, mass transit, you name it. We understand that these resources are critical, particularly for hard-to-count communities. And power, because of the impact of the census in terms of the size of your congressional delegation, New York State is actually poised to potentially lose the most congressional seats of any state in the nation. We're potentially going to lose two congressional seats after losing two in the last census. Those are votes that New Yorkers need for things like immigration, for votes on healthcare and the economy and tax cuts. And finally, respect. When we actually think about this, that we recognize the political nature of the citizenship question, particularly with the latest disclosures. This clearly is a Trump administration effort to strike at the money and the power of big immigrant-rich states like New York State. And we recognize that the impact of this question is not just going to be on undocumented immigrants, but on all sorts of folks, green card holders, naturalized citizens, and so many other people who recognize this question for what it is. It's an attempt to depress and oppress the census count. So essentially, we are going to be faced with a situation where we're going to have to give the message to all New Yorkers that, yes, this administration has tried to deport you, oppress you, or otherwise prevent you from exercising your power. But in this case, we are going to need to have you work with them to fill out the census. And think about how hard that message is going to be. And this is exactly one of the reasons why we created New York Counts 2020, which is a broad coalition bringing together immigrant groups, folks working with the African American community, rural communities, places all over New York State, with one message, and that is that we're going to need to count every New Yorker, as many as we can. So when we're thinking about the citizenship question, here's how it changes the game. There's going to be a couple things. First of all, messaging. The right kinds of messaging will be absolutely critical. And here we are going to rely on national groups like NALEO, like AJC, like the National Urban League, to make sure that we have the tools in place so that we can deliver the right message and to explain that despite all of these hurdles and barriers that the administration is trying to put in front of us, it's still critical to make sure that everybody is counted. And so our national partners are going to be critical. We are looking to them to make sure that they deliver the kinds of messaging tools we need. But most importantly, we are going to have to really double down on the single thing that has proven the most effective in getting people to fill out the census. And that is somebody that the person trusts, talking to them, telling them why they should do the census. So we are going to need a full court press to talk to people directly, whether that means institutions like hospitals or schools or health clinics, places that people go. We need to make sure that there are folks out there who are going to talk about the census. We're going to need canvassers that are going to have to go door to door, knocking on doors, telling people exactly why filling out the census is so critical. We're going to need social media tools. And this is all just a tip of the iceberg in terms of the full court press that we're going to need. And I have to say that we're going to need a significant investment in funding for this. And I'm proud to say that New York City just announced today that they're putting in $40 million for census outreach. And that is just one step, though, that we need to do, because there are going to be tremendous barriers in place, and we are going to need major resources and an unprecedented level of cooperation between immigrant groups, you know, grassroots groups, business, labor, local and state government, to make sure that we are able to overcome this and we can get a greater count in Census 2020 instead of a lesser one.
Thank you so much, Steve. And thank you for joining us. I think the incredible work that you and your team are doing in New York State is such an incredible example of the state coalitions that are working across the country to ensure that the outreach is local, is really attuned to the needs of specific communities, and really doing that deep work to ensure that we're getting out the count. So thank you for your partnership, Steve, and for your engagement with the State Count Action Network work overall. And last but certainly not least, it's my absolute pleasure to turn the call to Soma Arias, the Immigration Field Director at Community Change and the Fair Immigration Reform Movement. Soma?
Thank you, Beth. And I'm going to keep my comments brief because I think that Steve has just created a great example of the work that the Fair Immigration Reform Movement will do during the 2020 census, because they are one of firm organizations. The firm network is made up of 44 organizations in 32 states. They represent nearly 500,000 people, and together we make up the largest network of grassroots immigrant rights groups. In the network, we have immigrants, refugees, and allies. And so the focus for the Fair Immigration Reform Movement for the 2020 census are the 44 organizations, the relationships in those 32 states, but specifically our goal is with undocumented people and the children, the households where different members have varying legal statuses, mixed status families, people who are historically difficult to count, including children who could be left out of the census. We believe this is an intentional move by this administration to attempt to undercount our communities. We believe it's an attack on our rights to fair representation. The census determines, like Steve was saying, congressional representation as well as representation in states. And the reality is that we do represent a big voting bloc. In 2018, our votes flipped Congress, and so we believe that is where this attack is going. However, like someone else said on the call, we refuse to be erased, and so we are making sure that our voices will be heard and counted. The firm network is committed to ensuring that every member we represent is counted in the census. The firm coalition, again, in 32 states, have deep ties to the communities they represent and they work with. These are organizations in 32 states who are trusted by their members, from New York to California and all the states in between, like places like Kansas, Wisconsin, Arkansas. We are holding massive community meetings to educate our base about the importance of being counted and about all that's at stake. We are knocking on doors, and we're making sure that those most at risk of being left out make their voices heard. We are also engaging people online through social media by making sure that the voices of those most likely to be left out are front and center. We are working to capture dozens of stories in different languages through web-based video platform called Soapbox. Then we'll boost those videos with paid ads. This collaborative tool makes it easy for our members to create selfie-style videos and educate friends and family about why they should be counted in the census. We know from research and past experiences that people trust people they know. That is the genius behind this approach. In 2018, we experienced hundreds of videos from our base reach more than 10 million people. Our goal is to reach as many this summer. Like everyone else on this call has pointed out, citizenship questions for 2020 census will be very damaging to immigrant, Latino, refugee, and Black communities in our future. That is why we will fight to make sure our voices are heard and counted. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Selma. Thank you to all of our speakers for your concise and really informative remarks. We now have about 25 minutes for questions, and so we would be delighted to take some questions from reporters. And in a moment, the operator is going to provide instructions for asking those questions. Operator, are you able to provide those instructions?
Absolutely. And at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone phone. You can remove yourself from queue at any time by pressing the pound key. Again, that is the star and one to ask your question. And we can pause for a moment to allow questions to queue up.
And while we wait for the questions and for folks to raise their hand to ask questions, I also want to do another thank you to Ethnic Media Services and team for their partnership and sponsorship of this call today. So thank you to all who joined. Operator, it looks like we've got a call in the queue.
First question from Peter White from the Tennessee, and it doesn't say the rest. Here you go.
Hi, folks. Good to hear from you all again. I'm going to have to write something about this, and I'm familiar with a lot of the stuff that you said, although the bringing it up to date and the latest events and everything, of course, make it important and timely. So we're going to do something on this. I would like some thoughts from anyone. This is just, I'm throwing this out to anyone. Who feels like they could handle it. The government side, you know, the census people and Trump administration, they're saying, oh, no, we need to do this because it's going to enforce the Voting Rights Act. And in a very, you know, simplistic way, I don't think even they mean, we have to do this so that in case somebody comes there and they want to vote, you know, we're gonna make sure they can vote. No, because that's all local stuff, and they have to be registered and all those other things. So what you all have been saying that they really mean is what you've been talking about in terms of suppression and not counting. Alternatively, on the other side, I've read things that say, well, this is voter suppression, and I don't know exactly how that works because I don't think that the administration is saying, oh, we're going to have all these phony people trying to vote. I don't think the evidence supports that. So I need to explain to my readers that it's actually an indirect effect. I mean, the consequences, of course, are very direct. But it's actually not related to going and casting a ballot. It's actually related to other things. Could any of you speak to that?
Thank you for the question. John, I'm actually going to turn that one to you first, if that's okay.
Sure. This is John Yang with Advancing Justice AAJC. I think that perhaps the easiest way to explain it is if you have an undercount of minority communities typically are in urban areas, are located in specific states such as New York and California, that results in less congressional representation of those states. Then you take it one step further, is that if you have an undercount, then the districts that are drawn for those undercounted regions will compact the number of minorities and immigrants into a smaller district. So even though we all know that there are actually more residents in that district and therefore should have a larger district or be split into two districts, now because of that undercount, there are ways for lawmakers to draw the lines in such a way so that they are packed into one place, thereby expanding representation for other districts. This is precisely part of that memo that Tom Hofweiler wrote that is the subject of contention right now, is sort of how this works in practice in suppressing literally sort of what it called the increasing the political power of non-Hispanic whites and Republicans.
Thank you so much, John. And the one thing I'll also, this is Beth Link from the Leadership Conference Education Fund, is just to also level set is that since the implementation of the Voting Rights Act, there has not been a citizenship question asked of every single person in the United States, and the insertion that this administration needed that data to enforce the Voting Rights Act was a farce before we received, you know, the receipts on the fact that what their real intentions really were. Just important to add to that. Are there any other speakers who wanted to chime into that question? Otherwise, we'll move on. Great. We'll take the next question.
Our next question from Stephanie Williams from Black Voice News. Stephanie, your line is open.
Okay. Yeah,
we'll move along to Michael from CQ Roll Call. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi. Yeah, thank you for holding this call. I had a question about the non-citizenship question aspects of Census Bureau outreach and where you think they are at this point on that, things like non-citizen enumerators and partnership staff, the language and cultural competency of partnership staff and outreach, things like that.
Thank you so much for your question. Jerry, do you want to take this one?
Sure. Okay. Yes, I'm trying to unmute and do all these things. Just in general, we do know that the Census Bureau, from a staffing standpoint, is experiencing backlogs in hiring and getting people, partnership specialists, and those folk who are going to be working directly with immigrant communities and are going to be trained on matters, hopefully as it pertains to the citizenship question, that's a very slow process. And we're also not quite sure where the communications campaign, this $400+ million effort that's supposed to reach all of our communities, particularly historically undercounted communities, that's another piece that appears to be lagging. So I don't think, and I ask my fellow panelists here, I don't think the Census Bureau is really prepared at all from an outreach standpoint to begin helping our communities understand this question and how to respond. The only thing that I know that they're prepared to do is to push a button to print the form with or without the question, and that they can wax on forever. But on the partnership standpoint and their readiness to interact with our populations on the ground is quite uncertain.
Thank you, Jerry. Operator, we'll take the next question.
Absolutely. And our next question comes from Joseph from KIDEFM Tribal Radio. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you for taking this call. My question has to do with Native Americans in this census. There is not a Native American representative on this telephone call panel, and I have been contacted by the 2020 Census Native American count that is separate from this group. And I'm wondering, well, who is these people talking to, and why are not they on this call? And from what I understand from our post-meeting in Sacramento when we got this budget breakout of how the 2020 census finances were allocated through the state in, I believe, 10 sections, 10 groupings and segments of the state, Humboldt County and Del Norte County up in Northern California on the coast received the lowest amount of allocations, $700,000, where everyone else was receiving millions. And so when this person in our community through our local area contacted me and came to the station and said, we'd like to start some campaigns, and here's a flyer, and here's a tote bag with 2020 census and a one-page flyer to explain the important, or did said that it's important to be a numerator, somebody who would, they're trying to recruit people to go door-to-door, and they wanted the assistance of the radio station to get this word out. And, yeah, I'm glad to help that. But I was also looking at a way to go in depth in this, and by doing that, I need an allocation of some funds. Otherwise,
yeah.
It's just another thing that we have to do. Of only
absolutely.
Three people. So yes, so I'm
and
wondering. Yes, I'm trying to explain this, and I just feel that. I feel kind of lost here because you're asking for our support, but you're not giving us the wherewithal. I don't see it. And I'm wondering, where is that? I really like what New York's doing. It looks like they're doing well. Yeah, that's fine. And California,
yeah.
I hear California's going to do something, but I haven't seen it. That's
thank you. Yeah, thank you so much for the question, Joseph. And I think, you raised a really important point that, the undercount of tribal communities and Native Americans living on reservations is one of major concern, and that the issue of the citizenship question and the confusion that would cause extends beyond just immigrant communities or communities, Latino communities or Hispanic communities, but certainly has wider consequences. We know that, in 2010, nearly 1 in 7 Native Americans living on a reservation were missed, and the Urban Institute report that I mentioned indicates that could be higher in 2020 if changes are not made. We work closely in the Census Counts Coalition with our partners at the National Congress of American Indians, as well as the Native American Rights Fund, to ensure that outreach is done to tribal communities. But I think as you noted, there is much more work to do, and we know that New York's work is incredibly important. California, which allocated about $150 million. For outreach there, but more states need to step up and make sure that the tribal communities are represented and that there is a real partnership happening to ensure that the programs to reach hard-to-count communities, particularly tribal communities, that is an integrated strategy and approach moving forward. I'll also just note one thing is I mentioned that the citizenship question as it relates to Native American communities, we know that National Congress of American Indians submitted an amicus brief in the Supreme Court case, noting that if that question is added, it will also cause additional challenges for Native American communities, because we know many communities, many tribal communities affiliate with their tribe as their citizenship, and as opposed to the United States overall. And so that will cause and require additional education and outreach. So to Jerry Green's point earlier, there's going to need to be a big step up on the part of the Census Bureau as well as on the part of the states to do targeted outreach to these communities that are already harder to count, and the challenge will be even harder if we see this question is added. So with that, let's move to the next question.
And we have a question from Jacqueline from LA Opinion. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning, everyone. This is a general question. I don't know if you provided information on this before, but is there a possibility or is there an option for people, and I'm talking mainly for the immigrant community that are afraid of answering the question of citizenship, that they can leave it blank?
Thelma, do you want to take this question?
Oh,
or Steve?
So, yeah, this is Steve. So here's what I would say. I think we're all aware that there's real challenges and obstacles to doing that. I think filling out the census and is actually required by law. And if you do not fill out the census, then there are potential repercussions. And for organizations that advise people, that are thinking about advising people to not fill out that some part of the census, there are real consequences, potentially legal consequences for that as well. Ultimately, at the end of the day, I think it's going to be really important for the field to be united in our messaging. And I do think that our messaging is going to be that it is not a good idea to boycott that question. It is not a good idea to skip that question for a number of different reasons. Partly because the Census Bureau is going to fill out that information for you if you don't do it. And that's not helpful. And often they may get worse information than what you might be able to provide. And secondly, I think the consequences are so great that skipping the census or even skipping that question is not the right way we want to approach things. If we see this as an attack on our communities, as we certainly do, then the right way to respond to that attack is by making sure we fill out as many darn census forms as we can. So for a number of those reasons, we certainly are, I don't think that we have come to full conclusion, and we will need to certainly discuss with our national partners, but we are not proposing to boycott that question.
Thank you so much. Operator, we'll take the next question.
We'll take our next question.
Oh, sorry, go
ahead.
This is John Yang from Advance and Justice AAJC. If I could just add something, I completely agree with what Steve says. The other thing I would offer, and I think this is going to be something that all of us will continue to work on and have to work with the Census Bureau on, is on any given census, there are always questions that are missed by individuals. And those questions do not necessarily result in follow-up visits by the Census Bureau. Those forms will still get counted. I completely agree with Steve is that the quality of information goes down, and that is not something that we are suggesting that people do. But the Census Bureau itself has repeatedly said to all of us is that if there is a single question like the citizenship question that is missed, the chances of follow-up to get that information or a knock on the door is probably very, very low. And I would just leave it there, and we will work within our communities to figure out what that means for all of us.
Thank you, John. That was an important addition. Let's take the next question. Operator?
Your line is open. And Crystal, you may go ahead and speak. You're already in queue.
Hello?
Hi, so, Crystal. From Silent TV, we hear you.
Oh, sorry, because I don't know it's me. Thank you for taking the call. And for the local community effort to make everybody count, I really wonder what effort the Census Bureau do actually to make sure they count everybody. Because I heard that we have to fill the form online, but I didn't see any like demo of the online form, like how we can fill online. And for many Chinese American or Asian Americans living in San Francisco, like big cities, they're not familiar with the computer system or online system. So, but it's just months away. So I really wonder what we can help to, because it's really physical. It's not about just education. We can't like teach them how to log in and fill out the censorship if there are no assistance. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. John, do you want to jump in to take this one or Jerry?
Sure. This is John. I could start, and Jerry definitely could fill in as well. First thing to remember is that although it is being advertised as the first digital online census, let's be clear that paper forms are still allowed and will be mailed if you do not respond to the census online. So the traditional 2010-2000 censuses forms will still be available. So that helps to address that, because certainly part of the message testing that we did found that within the Asian community, a lot of people equally prefer paper over online. So that would be the first thing I would say. Literally what will happen is you will get a mailer in the mail. 80% of the population will get a mailer in the mail suggesting that you fill out the census online. 20% will get the paper right away. By the fourth mailing, if you have not responded yet, if that household has not responded yet, you will get the paper form. So if you do nothing, you will get the paper form at some point. But then you are absolutely right. There are still outreach issues involved. There are language access issues involved, all of which we need to work on throughout the process. Let me stop there.
Thank you. Jerry, anything else to add on the census operations side? Or?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much. John, you know, there's a lot. In terms of the outreach and to help in the education part, one of the things we support are these complete count committees. And you're, I think, very lucky to be in the state of California, because they're just outshining all the other states with respect to how much money they're putting into the 2020 census count of residents of California. But I know that in a couple of weeks, it's my understanding that the Census Bureau was going to put out a list of complete count committees on its website, and you might be able to find one in your community where you can go to those meetings and be a part of the organizing and the educational process to help people fill out the form. You know, you are hindered by, and we have not talked about, the reduction in the field infrastructure that for the 2010 census. For instance, there were 12 regional offices who could help communities. Now there are only 6 in 2020. There were 12 in 2010. And so it seems, and from our perspective, that there are fewer resources at the regional level from the Census Bureau to help populations because of the reduction in staffing and field offices. However, the complete count committees are a good start, and the communications campaign. There are lots of digital information. I understand that there's a digital divide, but there's a ton of information on our websites and on the Census website to help you understand how to respond to the census.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take the next question. Operator, we might not be able to hear you. You may be on mute.
And that is Henrietta from East Palo Alto today.
Yes. Thank you so much. I have two concerns. One is regarding the test questionnaire, and this is to Arturo, if he's still there, and if not, to John. And I'm wondering how effective a test questionnaire going out to people will be. If they have a difficulty filling out the real census question, what logic is there in sending out a test questionnaire ahead of time that might be very confusing for people, because when they do get the real census form, they might think they've already filled it out. Or having filled it out, they might decide, having filled out the test questionnaire, they might decide they don't want to fill out the original, the real census questionnaire. Did you hear me?
Yep. John, do you want to take that one, or?
Sure.
I'm putting you on the spot.
That's my first concern. I have a second concern after that's answered.
I'll keep it relatively short. I have to admit, as I was listening to the question, I was laughing. I'm glad I was on mute, because you hit it exactly right. That's why I say it's too little, too late. We're not sure what exactly this will do. We do think that it will show that the harm. It will show in part the harm that the citizenship question will do, and it may help advocates and community groups like all of ours on this phone figure out sort of what areas we need to target a little bit more, or sort of what sort of specific aspects of the messaging we need to work on and use that. But you're absolutely right, is This doesn't help that much, given that they're not doing any sort of additional follow-up work or sort of any additional testing beyond simply getting the responses from the form. To an earlier question, very briefly also, is we have not seen how the computer response works either. That is something that everyone has been asking and pressing the Census Bureau for, is an actual online demonstration, because that will also inform all of us how we need to communicate to our community. Thank you.
Thank you so much, John. And so thank you to everybody on the phone and for all the folks who asked questions. Unfortunately, we're at 3 o'clock, and so we will not be able to answer any more questions right now. That being said, if you have additional questions, please follow up with LaGloria Wheatfall at wheatfall@civilrights.org. That's Wheatfall spelled Wheatfall at civilrights.org. If you have additional questions. With that, that concludes today's call. Thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you so much to our speakers for taking the time to join this call.